Hi, everybody. It's Richard Zwicky with High on Healthy. And joining us today, we have Alexandra Plesner and Milica Radovich-Mandich, who are the co-founders of Psilocybin San Francisco. And together, they bring decades of experience with regards to strategic initiatives and have lately taken a strong interest in psilocybin, and in particular, psilocybin for women and how there can be a different holistic approach to well-being. Welcome aboard the High on Healthy, Alexandra and Milica.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So you're both based in San Francisco. Both obviously moved there from elsewhere. What brought you to San Francisco and what caused you to found the Psilocybin San Francisco Initiative?
So shall I start, Alex? Yes. So I came 5 years ago. I had my own company back in Serbia, but that's where I come from. And I had my company in IT, and it reached peak over there. And I said I need to do something for my future development. And San Francisco was, you know, the place to be. And I'm like, okay, I need to go there and explore psychedelics, because in Serbia it's still illegal, it's still a taboo topic, and I cannot do stuff that I want to there. And I decided to come to SF with my husband, and he's also an entrepreneur. He makes honey without the bees. So he can only do that there, here.
He makes honey without bees.
Yes. I need to mention that, because we are both in a very progressive industry and doing stuff that matters. Yeah, yes. And how about you, Alex?
Yeah, I actually don't live in San Francisco. I live in London, and I'm here visiting, and Milica and I met. And I've been back and forth California a lot because of work, because I was freelancing, because I had clients there. And my background is in design. So I've been working as a strategic designer in agencies. And therefore, I was always involved in innovative projects and speculative design projects. And therefore, also always was looking for what new industries are coming up, what is, you know, evolving. And psychedelics have been on the horizon, I would say so. And I was very interested in how to approach this space as a designer, and met Milica, and we just really hit it off and decided to start a project together that is meaningful, that is bigger than ourselves. And psilocybin is something very natural, very organic. And as a designer, I was interested in exploring how psychedelic can potentially help us design better futures. And so mushrooms grow everywhere. And it felt the most kind, and yeah, it just felt right to do the Psilocybin San Francisco.
And the Psilocybin San Francisco and some of your projects specifically, though, there's an interesting take on the benefits for women's well-being distinct from men. And what are the benefits and advantages you've noted with regard to psilocybin that are different for women, and how should they be approached?
I think there has not been much studies or studies at all, despite one that is currently also going on, in regards to how psilocybin affects different gendered bodies differently, you know?
Right.
I think in general, it's just, for me, interesting, and I can only speak to myself, to see how women are using psychedelics in general and psilocybin, and what it can help us with, you know? And I think it's very important to really push for more research to be done with women's bodies, because our body is, it's not so different, but yet it is, you know? And
there are a lot of real differences that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
Way more, and respond.
When it comes to menopause, when it comes to pregnancy, when it comes to how we sit in societies and how women sit in culture. And I've just recently been on a women's only retreat organized by Women on Psychedelics. And it has really shown me on a personal level how amazing it is to have very safe spaces for, in this case, women only. So you can really explore your body and your connections to the world, your connections with each other, with your ancestors, in a very safe space, because you don't have anybody flirting with you, you know, like just really right. simple like that, you know, because you really don't have to care what to wear. Ultimately, I wish, and I think Melissa will be able to jump in here, I wish we don't yeah. even have to have this division anymore. We don't even have to talk about gendered use of psychedelics in a cultural sense. Maybe, yes, when it comes to specific bodily needs, you know, as we are having our cycle and the menstrual cycles, definitely and the hormones influencing who we are on a daily basis as women. Contraception is influencing that. And it makes it, of course, harder to study on women's body. And it makes studies, of course, more expensive. But from a cultural perspective, I think, and I agree with Melissa, we had this conversation so many times before, psilocybin is for everybody. You know, it should not be really like, oh, this is the woman's thing and this is for men and this is for somebody who identifies as a woman or as a man. You know, it's...
No, I don't think the question is that it should be for one, you know, any gender yeah, or anything.
Yeah.
Perspective. It's really more, it's interesting that you've noted that there's a difference in terms of certain physical effects, which are, you know, there's the mental aspect of psilocybin use and the benefits. But it was interesting to me that when I was looking through your work that you noticed physical differences as well in terms of the response rates. And that's something which isn't addressed as often as perhaps it should be, because people need to prepare for their journeys.
Can I add something? I think Alex wanted to say that we had a conversation regarding promoting women in psychedelics, because right. we provide education for everybody. This is what she wanted. Like, yeah. yes, we need to say there are differences, but not put attention only on women. That's what we talked about yeah. several times. We are two women, and we don't want to be biased, you know, and just like.
No, not at all. Yes. It's not quite a, I don't even look at it in terms of a bias thing. I look at it as being actually a fascinating point of exploration yes. for people, because we have to consider everything.
And yes, there are not many studies, but what we can tell you is there are stories from the community, and we foster these events where we hear what people have to say. And women would mostly say that their body reacts the best with psilocybin in the middle of their menstrual cycle, for example. And because we connected it to the fact that in the middle of our menstrual cycle, we have the most energy. After we just finished menstrual cycle, yep. we are drained, you know, and our hormones are getting back to normal. When we are about to have our menstrual cycle, our hormones are raging and they're wild. So that's why it makes sense to administer psilocybin and then have a journey in the middle of our menstrual cycle. So those are the differences in terms of physical body that you just mentioned. Yeah, that's one of the, and they're also mental, and that comes with the hormone. It's all connected, you know, because we are more than
anxious. It is all incredibly connected.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Tell me a bit more about, and tell our listeners a bit more about Psilocybin San Francisco. It's an educational platform, but beyond a platform, what do you do?
So we started off as an educational platform, and we are a nonprofit. We don't earn money from this. We do purely philanthropically. We really want to educate people on psilocybin use and harm reduction through conferences, courses, meetups, and free material like on blogs and social media. We all the time post some insights. So we also write articles for several psychedelic media. So we do this with hope that people will understand that this medicine is actually not for everybody. There are some people who really should consider not taking psilocybin. And for those who are okay with taking it, they should... they should put in work in investigative work to understand what needs to be done in order to be safe during the trip. For example, as you know, like having a sitter or sad setting, all these things you already know. I'm not going to mention, right. but yeah, many people don't know these things, or they know, but they are not aware of the dangers lying. So we are focused on general public, not on the industry.
And you mentioned some warning signs that people should be aware of to consider whether it's right for them. What are some big ones that you look for or advise people to be aware of?
The big one is history of mental health issues. So either if it's this person previously had schizophrenia or have it currently or bipolar disorders, some bigger mental health problems or even depression, or the person is grieving, you know, lost somebody. Psilocybin is not, it can be, but if it's used in therapeutic setting, if somebody is grieving, it can help. But if you use it on your own without a sitter in any questionable setting, you know, it can cause damage. So the biggest thing is also to know not only if you have mental health problem, but like if somebody in your history had it, because these things lie in your DNA, it can be activated, you know. Once the ego is gone, everything can just arise. So that is one thing. Alex, if you have anything else to add, please, like, I could carry it away.
No, I mean, it's wonderful from the two of us that I can easily say Melissa has like the more personal experience also when it comes to psychedelics or especially psilocybin. I think for us, it is really interesting to understand where is the general public in those terms, to really try also to help shape that narrative of psilocybin being a wonderful medicine for many, in many ways, you know, from physical to psychological issues and illnesses, but also sometimes just to ease, you know. And we just feel people are taking mushrooms anyways, and they might be illegal, they might be criminalized, but people are just often in a state where they just really try to resort to what could help them possibly. You know, when they tried many other things, when they might feel that antidepressants is nothing that they want to go for and they would like to seek alternatives. But it is very important then to specifically understand, you know, how to not mix mushrooms, you know,
yes,
with medication, or take them in certain circumstances to really try to convey how important integration is. How does it really feel like? You know, what can possibly happen? What can you expect one day, even 3 days or a week after you take them? Like also emphasizing that psychedelics are, or especially psilocybin, non-specific amplifiers, which means when you're going through a heartache and a heartbreak, then that might not be the best time to have a bigger dose or to start your microdosing journey, you know? But at a certain point in your therapy, it might be really helpful. And so we are just trying to educate people on that subject matter in different, more focused areas, like psilocybin in general, but also then psilocybin for depression, for ADHD, or, you know, like there are different things you can do. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, you both have masters in psychology with a focus on psychedelics and psilocybin. That educational background combined with the current platform, it must be interesting for you to see how quickly the research is changing, but also how much interest or how often do you get the chance to work with students in progress and see how it's evolved in the few years since you both graduated?
We were students in progress up until recently.
Yeah.
up until like
we're all students in progress.
Exactly. Yeah. In terms of my master's and my education, I did a study for my master's. It was how psilocybin affects, how personality traits affect attitude towards psilocybin. That was my master thesis, and I did extensive research, but in terms of like researching with the psilocybin medicine, I personally haven't had contact with students, more so researchers. Yes, we talk to several of them. We interview them we have them as our speakers. So we are up to date with some of the research happening on specifically psilocybin for anxiety, for anorexia, for depression, for all these different things going on. Yeah. And some of the things are happening in San Francisco here. So yeah, you cannot not hear it if you're in the in your community. Yeah,
of course.
Alex.
Oh yeah, it was quite fun when we met and both realized you're studying the same.
Yes.
And just did different projects. My focus was in psychedelics in general and how virtual and augmented reality can possibly help in a synergetic application with psychedelic assisted psychotherapy. So of course I brought in the design aspects and the technologies into the mix. So it was not specifically focused on psilocybin. Interesting that you mentioned about collaborating and working with students. We've just had a conversation yesterday about this, and there will be definitely something coming up in the future. Yeah.
And will the thing coming up in the future tie into one of, I know you run conferences and events as well. Will that tie in?
Yes, exactly. We do. And yes, we're planning something for this year, most definitely.
That's excellent. And that, you know, that's for people who want to follow and learn more about the events that are going to be coming up. Where do they learn more about your projects and courses?
Melissa, I don't know if you would like to take this one.
Yeah. So people can come to our website, psilocybinsf.com, and there we have all the courses and previous conferences. They can have a look at it. We are very, we tend to be very accessible in terms of the cost of ticket. You know, our previous conference was, ticket was $12 and 48. And anybody can. And basically that barely covers our costs, you know.
I would say, yeah, it'd be tough.
So we really do this from our heart, and we really want people to, with our heart, and we really want people to come and learn about these medicines, how they can help them, and is it for them? Is it for what they needed to, for their intention? This year's conference is going to be very interesting. We plan. We are still talking about me and Alexandra are creating a plan about the topic. We have something laid out, but people can come to our website in a month or so and find out more as soon as we publish. But also, I want to talk not only about conferences, but the courses. We have psilocybin A to Z course, where we cover all topics that are related to psilocybin. So history, about history of psilocybin usage, how science behind psilocybin, how does psilocybin affect the brain and why it happened. I mean, we don't know why, but like the best to our knowledge, why. And then trip preparation, trip navigation, trip integration, microdosing, then indigenous usage of psilocybin to this day. So we have all these topics that are important, and they're covered in our course. And the next course is going to be about microdosing, and it's going to be also in a month or so. So we prepared all the materials. We just need to make it, format it and publish it. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's nice is these courses are all available online for people on demand as well.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
No, that's excellent.
Our conference is also online. Like the last one, the last two conferences have been online only, and this next one will also be online, so people can access it from all over the world. And whoever buys a ticket also has access to the recordings immediately after, or like a couple of weeks after.
Right.
And yeah, so I guess also it might be an idea to follow us on Instagram. It's also PsilocybinSF, where we will definitely announce the new conference and the new speakers and so on and so forth. Hopefully it'll be fun to follow us as well there. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's access to information is key, and it's been an issue that's plagued, you know, people's challenges for the longest time. And it's hard enough for people to start to confront their demons. If they can't get the information once they want to, it's even worse.
You know, I say education before legalization. Really, it's necessary. If we don't want to make the same mistakes in the past and make the allow these drugs for everybody without educating them first, then it's going to be a big problem. So education before legalization first, and that's it.
Very much so. Very much so. Well, I think we're running out of time for today, unfortunately,
yes.
But I'd like to thank you for joining. Varam und vielen Dank. I think would be appropriate. But for people who want to learn more, the psilocybinsf.com domain you mentioned is a great resource. And they can contact you for additional questions?
Yeah.
Most definitely. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you.
And thanks to everybody for listening. We'll be back again with you soon.